You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
1620 The Zone is live at the Omaha Baseball Village. Powered by Access Bank. Here for a reason, and by Brookside Medical. Here are Josh Peterson and Jimmy Allen on 1620 The Zone.
Josh Peterson, Jimmy Allen with you as we continue the countdown to Arkansas and Ole Miss. 40 minutes away from pregame. Kevin Kugler, John Bishop, Gary Sharp down on the field. First pitch scheduled for just over an hour from now. But we have to welcome in a dear friend of 1620 The Zone, a dear friend of the program. The biggest Star Wars fan I know. He is, of course, of ESPN, Marty and McGee. It's Ryan McGee. Ryan, it is so great to see you again. How's life?
Life's great because I'm here, man. I landed yesterday about midway through game 11.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, every game, quite honestly, has been pretty sucky.
Yes.
And how do you really feel?
Yeah, and so it's a fact. And so last night, we're in the bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, one out, and I stood up in the press box and announced the room. Y'all are welcome, by the way. Every game was terrible until I finally got here. So, no, it's, you know, you guys, I mean, Josh, you know in particular how much I love this place.
Yep.
And this event. And so, yeah, I mean, this is one of my favorite weekends of the year.
Any part of you stressed about getting here late? I mean, is there still a factor of that where you're like, I got to get there?
Guilt is all it is because, you mentioned, you know, Bish and Cougs, particularly Bishop, I mean, he's been on the air 1,700 hours in the last week.
He lost his voice a couple days ago.
I'm listening to all of it, you know, and then I feel
kind
of guilty because I'm the guy that comes in halfway through, you know, the midpoint of the series, and I'm like, hey, are we going out? They're like, no, we're going to bed. You know, we went out last week. But I tell you what happened. So every year, the last 10 years or so, I've come in for the second half, for the final four. And last year I begged to, they don't want me here all weeks, both weeks, but instead of being here at the end last year, I was like, can I please come in for the beginning? Because I missed opening weekend.
It's the funnest part.
It's the best part. I love seeing all eight teams and all that. And I'm like, I can, you know, if I leave halfway through, I can still write stories about whoever's left because I will have been there. The morning I left on the 6 a.m. flight or whatever to Charlotte, while I was in the air, the whole NC State thing went down.
Oh.
Jimmy, I grew up in Raleigh. I've been in LA since I was a kid. And so I land in Charlotte, and they're like, we need you to do this. I'm like, I'm in Charlotte. So they were like, all right, you're never going back again for the beginning. So now I'm here for the championship, which is great. And, you know, and the good news is we're done Monday at the latest, which is nice.
It absolutely is. Ryan McGee of ESPN joining us right now. I want to go back in time a couple of weeks. One of the things that you have said many, many times on our air is the kinship between the Tennessee and the Nebraska fans, especially in football, given the success of the 90s and what's happened since. But how's that group chat doing after what happened to Notre Dame a couple of weeks ago?
Apparently it's my fault. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Oh.
So this is what happens is I'm a Tennessee alum. And all my friends, you know, roommates, my wife's from Knoxville, the whole deal. But, yeah, everybody's mad. But what I've told them is, okay, watch Arkansas, because Arkansas was in that exact same position a year ago. They were the number one team in the country, and it wasn't even close. Mm-hmm. And then they got beat by NC State at home after winning game one in the Super Regional. And so now they have a chance to play for a national championship. And I think we'll win today.
Ooh,
and
so, yeah, you said that quietly, folks.
You don't want somebody else on Heidi Toddy.
Well, they're
face.
All on
We've
edge.
Got four of them
They're
today.
All on edge today anyway because Arch Manning. So that's already one loss.
He's heading to Texas as a Tennessee fan. Do you care?
No, I mean – I don't think Tennessee was ever in the running, but Ole Miss definitely was.
Sure, sure.
Absolutely. I was at the Ole Miss game back in the fall. We were doing Marty McGee in Oxford, and they retired Eli, you know, Arch's uncle. They retired his jersey. And the whole big thing, and all the former players are back, and Peyton and all that. And, you know, Archie, the grandfather, has a house right there.
Sure.
They painted the end zones that day, they didn't say Ole Miss. They said Manning.
Wow.
And that's when it suddenly dawned on me, oh, this has nothing to do with Eli. This has nothing to do with Eli. So, yeah. But, yeah, so they're a little crushed. But
I like how he said Eli, Arch's uncle, not like two-time Super Bowl
champion. Yeah, right. Yeah,
he's just Arch's uncle at this point.
Yeah, and that family, that's who he is, right? But it's to the Tennessee people, I keep pointing to Arkansas and saying, all right, a year ago they were devastated. Can they recover? And they had their bumps in the road, you know, in 2022, and now – you know, they're one game away from playing for a national championship. So if there's a silver lining, that's what it is.
Oklahoma's pitching staff has an ERA of 3.6 since getting to Omaha. That's including giving up 8 runs to A&M in that opener. What is different about them since arriving in Omaha than you saw from them throughout the season?
There's usually two teams in the championship series, and there's like the team that kind of slides in sideways and are kind of piecemealing it together, and they get into the finals. And then there's the business trip team that just looks like a machine. And that's what Oklahoma looks like. From the time they got off the bus, they've looked like they were – which is unusual because this is a team that hadn't won a College World Series since, what, 1994?
And didn't even celebrate making the championship round,
right.
Really.
Yeah. And so the teams that have been there, done that, the coaches that have been there, done that, there's a business trip aspect to what they're doing. So to me – that's what it is. And then obviously they wish this had been a night game tonight, and now they hope this game goes 19 innings.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But they're impressive. They're on something else.
Ryan, there's been a lot said. Ryan McKee joining us right now, ESPN. 4 SEC teams make it this year.
6.
Exactly. Two future right. SEC teams. And then the funny thing is speaking of Tennessee, you know, it could have been 7 as right. they lost to Notre Dame. You've been following this league for a long, long time. Where is current SEC baseball and future SEC baseball stack up with what you've seen in your lifetime?
It's the best I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I grew up on Tobacco Road, you know, when Clemson was coming up to Omaha every single year, and
North Florida Carolina.
State and Miami and North Carolina, and they're all so great, but didn't win championships, but they'd at least get to Omaha. But there's never been, you know, I go back to the pack back then, I guess it was like the Pack 8, you know, back in the 70s. And Arizona State, Arizona, USC, one of them won the championship every year. It's just how it was. And
sure.
And so we've not seen anything like that since then, but this is a completely different animal. You know, back then the tournament was a third of the size it is now. You know, you just didn't – it just is not what it is now. But it's – and I get – listen, I do a lot of interviews all over the country, and when I do interviews in Big Ten country and Pac-12 country and the Northeast, they talk about SEC fatigue.
Yep.
And I get it. But – you know, there's a simple solution to that. I tell this to my people in North Carolina, where I live all the time. You know, beat them. You know, you figure out a way to beat them, and then you know, you can't complain about missing the college football playoff, or you can't complain about, you know, too many spots to be taking the College World Series if you commit and take care of your business. But I get it 100%.
Dave Van Horn has reached the College World Series 9 times. You just talked a lot about teams that have made it here and hasn't won one. He's never won it. He's obviously got a chance to make it to the championship series tonight. If he comes up short again, what's his legacy?
That, and okay. I hate it. You know, to me personally, his legacy will in this town will always be 2001, 2002.
Right.
When I came here as a fan with my dad, and I've never seen lines for GA tickets like the Nebraska fans, you know, when they were here. To me, if he had just done that, he would have been a legend. But just to be as close as he's been, and again, to have a number one team in the country last year and not get here, obviously 2018 – you know, a misplayed foul ball, or he wins the national championship.
Yep, right.
That's what's amazing is 9 College World Series. That's rare air, and to do it with 2 different schools, that's rare air. But at the end of the day, you got to at least get one ring for them to anoint you one of the greatest of all time. And if you were to, it would just take one, I really believe that for him to be considered.
Agreed.
You know, certainly among the greatest coaches, because what he's done, and done it at the programs where he's done it, is remarkable.
Ryan McGee of ESPN joining us right now at the Omaha Baseball Village. You've mentioned Arch Manning. I did want to ask you one obligatory Arch Manning question, and I'm guessing you've got this one before. I know you're not a huge recruiting guy. It's not your beat, but
right.
His last name, if it's not Manning, if it's something else, is he still like this program changer that Texas fans think he is?
He's really, really, really good. But there's no question that the last name has put him on the radar. I mean, he's the most hyped guy coming out of high school I can remember since Jadeveon Clowney. And I kind of lived Jadeveon Clowney because I was there in South Carolina, or lived just near there. I had to I don't recover recruiting, but I covered Clowney his whole senior year of high school. The last name has a lot, everything to do with it. You know, the previous most hype recruit I can remember was Peyton.
Sure.
Yeah. And that was a really, this is pre-internet. This is a really long time ago.
I compared him to LeBron last
yeah,
week.
No, exactly yeah, right. Exactly right. And that's a perfect example. And so it's, but no, to answer your question, there's absolutely his last name has created more hype around him than otherwise. But the reality also is, you know, he's really good. Coaches love last names, but they like film more than they like names.
Sure.
And so, you know, if they think he can perform, then you know, that's why you get offers from everybody.
You mentioned you kind of think Arkansas has the edge tonight. They've won 3 out of 2 against Ole Miss this season. How much of that has gone into that thought process for you?
I think a lot of it has. And what the Arkansas guys were saying last night, they didn't look right. They were disappointed. Mm-hmm. The Ole Miss guys, they were disappointed about losing that game. But I looked at it. It was like I wrote it in a column today. I think it's like 13-1 two-run games for Ole Miss, 19 for Arkansas. And so what both teams said last night was, we've been here before, you know, whether it's an elimination game or whether it's a tight game. But, yeah, the familiarity of it, you know, at one point it looked like Ole Miss could win the College World Series without playing a school outside of the SEC. And so the familiarity between these programs, you know, even A&M and Oklahoma and all that, just they all know each other. And so it's I'm fascinated by that. But mentally – you know, we always go into these things thinking about, you know, what's their mindset going to be and all that. And if it's a mindset game, then Arkansas has an advantage because Ole Miss has never been in this position in the history of the program. And Arkansas, these guys, again, feels like a business trip.
Ryan, before we let you go, we buried the lead. Yesterday, the finale of Obi-Wan goes up. So two-parter for you.
Yep.
I assume you've watched it. What did you think?
Three times.
Okay, good. And view of the series overall now that it's in the rear view, getting to see that character. Because I'll add one thing before you speak, and that is it's so fun to see Darth Vader, just a complete monster, you know, but also fast and like the, you know, New Hope. He's old. He's slow. I love seeing younger Vader.
Yeah. No, that's the part that we didn't ever get. You know, if you watch the animated series. Then you saw some of that, but you hadn't seen it in live action. That's why everybody loses their mind over the last, you know, 5 minutes of Rogue One.
Yeah, exactly.
My daughter, who's 17 now, she's a prequel kid. I mean, she loves Hayden Christensen. She loves Anakin Skywalker. This has been a very emotional experience for her watching this show. But for her, Darth Vader was like this sympathetic figure. So when she would watch the originals, she kind of went into it like, oh, poor Anakin.
Yeah, he's the baby face.
Yeah, and now... Yeah. We've established, oh, no, he's breaking people's necks and killing kids. And, I mean, this is a horrible human. So, yeah. So, it kind of reset him as a bad guy. And then even if you – and no spoilers, but even if you had any doubts about it, he also got rid of those too. So, that finale's so good.
Can we just give Jon Favreau every award ever made? Oh. Just give it to him. Oh. You just have them all. You win them all.
And I didn't see that coming because I like him a lot. I've interviewed him before.
Oh, really?
Okay. I did a story about Rudy. The anniversary of Rudy was several years ago. I interviewed Favreau about it because he played Rudy's best friend in the movie and really enjoyed talking to him. But, you know, Favreau's kind of hit or miss. Like, I didn't like the Lion King remake. But we love Iron Man.
Iron Man,
you
yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
But then, you know, I thought that Cowboys and Aliens was a terrible movie. But then the flip side of that is, you know, he's hitting about 50-50 with me. But he is, I mean, it's been nothing.
It's just when he gets a hold of it, it's a home run.
Oh, my gosh. He's just crushing it. He loves it.
Mandalorian was great. This series has been great. I mean, it's just.
These people that complain, Bishop, I tell us all the time. These people that complain about there's too much Star Wars, I'm like, whatever.
Think of how you grew up.
There's not enough.
The way I grew up was you had to wait 10 years, and maybe, hopefully, one day they might make another movie.
I haven't watched any of it yet. Is it weekly or did it all come out at one time?
It was weekly.
Yeah. Do you like that setup or do you prefer the binge watching?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Netflix used to dump everything out all at once,
right.
And then when Disney Plus came along, they started. They'll usually do two to start off with, and then they'll do it one.
Yeah, because I'm a big Marvel guy, and that's how they've been doing the Marvel series.
And it's a little. Like, again, my daughter, who's a teenager, it tests her patience because, you know, she's grown up with everything just sitting there. And she's like, we got to wait a week now? I'm like, yeah, just, you know, this is how TV used to work. Yeah.
In the old days.
I like it. There's anticipation to it. Like, I spent all last week.
It's almost retaught us how to watch television.
100%.
Again.
Yeah. 100%.
He is Ryan McGee. I always look forward to these conversations, Ryan. Enjoy the baseball. I hope that the good luck that you brought last night, I hope it continues today and then Saturday and Sunday and maybe even Monday.
Yeah, well, yeah. It, whenever it's over. And by the way, I know it's tough on the teams or whatever. I'm all for this compressed schedule. I think it's awesome.
It's awesome.
I'm loving it. And, I mean,
fingers crossed for no bad weather.
It's not good for Bishop's vocal cords, but it's good for the rest of us.
That is 100% true. He is Ryan McGee of ESPN. Ryan, appreciate the time. Thank you
Anytime,
so much.
Anytime, boys.
All right, more to come here at the Omaha Baseball Village next on 1620 The Zone.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.